We are in a series right now called The Basics with a Twist. The third part of the Back to the Basics series is the gospel. And so for the last couple of weeks now, Mark has been presenting this part of the series, Back to the Basics, the gospel. And we're kind of in the middle of Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. And it says, Paul says, "And pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." And so we've been talking about boldness, and what is boldness, and what does it look like to have boldness in our lives? How can we share the gospel boldly? Can we share the gospel with even one person this year? Are we bold enough to share the gospel with just one person? And how do we achieve this boldness? What does this boldness look like? What does this life look like? And as I started to prepare and think about that and experiences that I've had in my life, and Mark has preached about specifically examples of when he has preached or when he has shared the gospel with those who don't know it. And as I thought about that, a verse that came to my mind and that came to my studies was Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. And so if you would open up your Bible to Philippians 1, if you don't have a Bible this morning, there's one in front of you in the pew, or you can follow along on the screens today. Just four verses that really impacted me as I thought about the times that I've shared the gospel with boldness. And it really encouraged me because this section of scripture, these four verses were so real and so relevant to my experience in sharing the gospel in my past. And so let's read through this now. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." What does that look like in our lives today? And like I said, as I read and studied that verse, and was thinking about specific examples of when I've shared the gospel, I realized that there are many things that we will learn from living out the gospel boldly. The beginning of that verse, or that section, says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel," living out the gospel. And there are many things. There's some things that we're going to learn in living out the gospel boldly. And I'm going to share four of those that come right from this section of scripture that I've experienced as I've shared the gospel. Any time when somebody talks about sharing their faith or sharing the gospel, there's two specific stories in my life that come up that I think of that I've always thought about, and those are two different guys, the story of Adam and the story of Josh. I met Adam in college, actually. It was my junior year in college. He was the same age as me, but he was a transfer student, and he was a basketball player. Adam was 6'9". And he was a beast. He was ripped. He was sculpted. Whatever you want to say, the things that people say, he was just a big basketball, strong man and very intimidating. And he was from Los Angeles. And he was from California. He lived in Los Angeles. He was a city boy. He came to our college for one reason and one reason only, to play basketball. There was no other reason why he came to our college. And I went to York College in Nebraska. It's a small Christian school, about 500 students. And this guy from L.A. grew up in one of the biggest cities in the United States, in the roughest neighborhoods, grew up in gangs, and never really had any Christian background or Bible background, shows up on the campus of a Christian college to play basketball. And I met him. He actually applied to join our fraternity that we had, and I use that term, but it's not exactly as you would think a fraternity on a university, on a non-Christian university. It's more of a social club, and we did Christian service projects, and we had Bible studies and things like that, but we were nonetheless a fraternity, which ultimately the definition of that is a brotherhood. And so we had this fraternity, and he applied to be a part of our fraternity. And so there's this initiation process, like at other schools, not quite the same as hazing, but similar. And so for our version of hazing, we would yell at them and tell them to do push-ups and sit-ups and make them memorize verses and all these crazy things that we would make them do. And it was fun and a joke and all that stuff, and it was all legal, I promise you. But just imagine, you know, the 6'9" intimidating basketball player. And I was actually the president of our fraternity. And so I'm kind of the big man leader or whatever. I humbly say that. And I'm trying to, you know, intimidate this intimidator. And so this is how I met Adam. And, you know, that's the story of Adam. He was a rough guy. But he had a soft heart. And there's a contrasting story in my life of this guy named Josh. And I met Josh at a job, actually. He was a coworker of mine. We shared the same cubicle, so we were cubicle mates, if that's what you call it. Does anyone here work in a cubicle? I know some of us do, okay. I worked in a cubicle for a financial institution. This is long before I ever became a pastor. And it was right when I got out of college in about 2003, 2004. And Josh and I struck up a friendship, and we talked about sports and the weather and movies and all those things. And we started having conversations in the office, but also over lunch, and we just had a great relationship and became friends over that time. He didn't ever really go to church, and actually I started to notice, just not by anything I said, but just from little things that he would say, that he just had this hate for religion in general. And I'm sure all of you have probably met somebody like this at one point or another, just very skeptical of religion in general. And of course, there's these things that happen in the world that are religious organizations that then people see that happen. They think all religious people and all Christians are like that, which is not true. And we all know that, but people in the world don't know this. And so he was very skeptical, and he was rough in a different way. He was rough in a different way than Adam, but he had a hard heart. And this was Josh. And as I started to interact with these two guys, I realized I was going to need to stand firm in one spirit. And that's the first thing that I've learned from this section of Scripture. And looking back and reflecting back on sharing the gospel and trying to do that boldly, that I was going to have to stand firm in the Spirit. Verse 27, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." And so I knew that if I was going to have any impact, if I was going to be bold, if the gospel was going to come out of my life and my interactions with these two guys and these two different times in my life, I certainly was going to have to stand firm in the Spirit. And with Adam, it started by just introducing him to the Bible. He had never opened up a Bible in his entire life. That just blew me away. I grew up in the church. I grew up, my dad was a pastor, and maybe some of you had spent a long time of your life never even opening up the Bible. But that blew me away, and I remember we were at this initiation time, and we were yelling at the guys and all that stuff, and we were trying to get them to memorize verses, and he had no clue what we were even talking about. You know, we were like, memorize Isaiah 41, this and that, and what's that? He didn't even know. And so it just started by introducing him to the Bible and interacting with him. And so he became a part of our fraternity, went through the initiation process, became a part of our group, and we started introducing him just to the Christian life and what a relationship with Christ looked like and what Christians look like in their relationships. And in that, he started to see kind of how we were living and starting to see what the Christian life was like and how it contrasted his life that he had before he came to our school. And in the same way, I had to stand firm in the Spirit and dealing with my friend Josh as we had these conversations over lunch. He had these questions and he was skeptic and he just always had another excuse or a reason why it was stupid to believe in Jesus or stupid to be a Christian or just unacceptable or foolish. And he was just very critical. And he was one of those guys also, his personality, and probably all of us have a person like this in our life, and maybe we're that person for other people, but he had this personality that he always made fun of his friends, and so anything he could do to make fun of you, he would do, and so for me, he would just make fun of the fact that I was a Christian, and he would always use that as a way to poke me and to make fun of me and different things, and that was just kind of the relationship we had, and I realized that I had to stand firm in the Spirit, because this was going to be a challenge. I also realized that I could not be afraid and be frightened by the opponent. In verse 28, Paul is saying, well, in the end of 27, he's saying, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. I had to know that I could not be afraid. I had to accept that there was a fear there, and I had to get over that fear. And as you think today, as you hear this experience that I had in sharing the gospel, and as you think and hear from the experiences that Pastor Mark has had, what are your experiences? And think back, when have you shared the gospel? When has your life been the light of the gospel? And then think about, how can you share? Who could you share with? How would you share? How could your life be the light of the gospel to others? Because when we start to think about that, most of us who are human beings are going to start to get a little fearful, because there's so many questions and there's so many things that come along with that. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. We don't want to say the wrong thing. We don't want to intrude on that person's life. We don't want to say something politically incorrect. We don't want to cross boundaries. And not every single one of us is an evangelist. There's some people who can go and share the gospel with other people, and God bless them, and they're not afraid at all. And they'll go and stand on corners and preach, or they'll go and hand out tracts, or they'll go and tell everyone that they know about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and praise the Lord for that. And maybe you're that person, and that's awesome. But most people, that's not us. Most people, we find it hard to share the gospel for whatever reason. And so I learned that we cannot be afraid of our opponent. We cannot have fear in our life. With Adam, the 6'9" guy, there was definitely some fear there. You know, trying to yell at this guy and make him do push-ups. I remember specifically one time we were making him do push-ups, and like in initiation, you always try and make them do more than they can actually do. Like, you put out these expectations that are just ridiculous. And we're like, do 100 push-ups. And so like most of the guys are like at 28, oh, and they're falling over. And he literally, 100 push-ups, just nothing, like nothing. Just 100, boom, and he stands up and he's ready to go. And it was just like, we were blown away. And then, you know, we tell him to memorize a verse, and all the Christian guys at the Christian college are memorizing verses, and he had no clue what we were talking about. And so there's this fear that I had of this guy that, you know, at any moment he could just say, no, I don't like what you're doing, and just attack me or beat me up or whatever. You know, I mean, I'm tall, but I'm not 6'9", and I think I can hold my own, but I'm definitely, this guy would have killed me. He would have broken me in half with his hands. And so there was this fear. And it could be physical fear in this case, but there's also all kinds of other fears that we face in sharing the gospel. In the same way with Josh, this fear came out of our friendship. You know, it was like I had this fear of, number one, losing this friendship. Fear that he would make fun of me, because he already was this guy that would always jab me. Fear that he would make fun of me in different ways. I questioned what I was doing because he was so critical. And there was this fear that came over me. I had to face that fear, and I had to get over that and understand that the gospel is more powerful than any fear that we will ever face. Also in that, at the same time, learned that I'm going to have to suffer for his sake. And that's the next verse there. Paul in verse 29 says, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." When I think about these situations with Josh, there's certainly, as I was thinking about sharing my faith with him in the workplace, there certainly could have been some suffering for the sake of the Lord. I was at risk. I was at risk of public humiliation. He could have told all of our work friends that I was this ridiculous Christian who was trying to share all of my ways and viewpoints with him. He also could have told my boss. I could have been fired. There was that risk. There was that possibility that I could suffer for the sake of Christ. And I definitely was afraid. And there were times when I suffered in this way. It reminds me of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." I took that verse literally, and I take that verse literally. that we should not be ashamed of the gospel. There was a huge risk in sharing my faith and sharing the gospel with my friend Josh in a public workplace. There's boundaries and all of these things. There was a huge risk. And I encourage you, if you are in a situation like that and you're thinking about who you might share the gospel with, look at the risks. There's always risks with sharing the gospel. But then be reminded to not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, but share in the suffering of the gospel, for the gospel, by the power of God. Take the risk. It's worth it. You want to know why? Because the gospel is more important than your job. The gospel is more important than your friendships. The gospel is more important than our status. The gospel is more important than our standing in this world. The gospel is more important. In that suffering, I found also that we will engage in conflict over the gospel. That's the continuation of verse 29. And Paul says, for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. And then in verse 30, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Paul was in this conflict and sharing the gospel. He was a former persecutor of Christians. And there was an expectation. He had a status in his life, the Apostle Paul. And his life completely changed and he was transformed. And there was these expectations of him, but they changed. And he couldn't be ashamed of the gospel, because if he was, he never would have been effective. You know, Adam, when he continued in that year of school, started playing basketball, and the season started for him, and our group of guys in our fraternity would kind of get together and go to basketball games to support Adam and other players on the team that were a part of our group, and we cheered him on, and he was one of the best players on the team. You know, he's 6'9", and he was averaging 20-some points a game, and just a fantastic player. And during that basketball season, the team had a lot of successes. But then there was an incident that happened where there was some conflict in his life and some poor decisions that he made in his behavior, and he got in some trouble. And when that happened, myself and my friend Luke, who also took a big interest in Adam, and we were part of this group, and our group of guys were trying to support him in any way we could, and we're trying to help him to see that there's a difference between a worldly life and a Christian life. And when he went through this conflict, I could just tell and see he was going through this conflict, and we were going through this conflict with him, and we engaged in this conflict, that he had this battle going on in between him, because he was making friends with these Christian guys, and he was starting to see and really be encouraged and really like what he saw and being attracted to it, but then at the same time had this life that he had lived and these expectations and parties that he had gone to and drinking and all these things. And there was this conflict. And in the same way with my friend Josh, when I shared the gospel with him, when I shared my faith with him, our friendship was jeopardized. There was conflict there. And our relationship just wasn't the same anymore. And at some point, we stopped having lunch together. You know, and the lunch thing was perfect because we could go out to lunch or take our lunches and go out of the office to a public place. And I could have that opportunity to share my faith. But now that got cut off. And we got to that point where we barely even talked to each other. Maybe said hi and talked about the weather or the big game last night or whatever it was. But there was this conflict because he didn't believe in what I believed in. And he believed strongly in the opposing way. And when you share the gospel, at some point, you're going to come to a challenge point. At some point, you're going to get to that point, and it's a make or break, where you have to take a step of faith, and you have to go beyond and understand that you are not ashamed of the gospel, and you will not stop at anything to just present and live your life in a manner that is worthy of the gospel, no matter what anybody says or does, because that is what is most important in your life. And that time came for me with Adam on March 31st, 2002. It was actually Easter Sunday. And I don't know even if he went to church that day and maybe heard a gospel presentation in church. I don't even know. I don't remember. But I know that that night he called up my friend Luke and he called up me and he asked us to come and meet with him. And we started talking and we prayed with him and we were opening up the Bible and looking at verses and we were talking to him about baptism. And we got to that point in the book of Acts when Philip was witnessing, and the guy sees the water, and he says, "Why shouldn't I be baptized right now? I believe. Let's do this." And we were talking about that and studying these things and praying. And at some point, Adam made a decision, and he wanted to put his faith in Christ, and he was ready. He was at that point. And it was just the most amazing time that we had in praying with him and in celebrating that he finally made this decision. He was going to change his life and live for Christ. And then Adam said, "You know, why shouldn't I be baptized right now? I get what this is. I understand what this means. I want to get baptized right now." And we were like, "Well, it's, you know, 2 a.m. And, you know, and he's like, "No, why not?" And so we couldn't come up with a good reason why not. And so we called up the campus minister, and we woke him up, and we called a few of our friends, and we went through the dorms and woke other people up that knew him. And we went down, and the campus minister opened up the church, and this was the Church of Christ, and they happened to keep their baptism tanks full of water for occasions just like this. And so there was water in the tank, and there was no reason why we shouldn't just baptize this young man. And that night we worshiped. And we baptized and we worshiped God and we praised and celebrated God because of the transformation in this life and seeing the baptism and had this service, and it was unbelievable. It was one of the most amazing nights I've ever had in my entire life. What an amazing experience. And I don't know how many times I've had experiences like that, but I certainly know that those are the things that I'll remember for the rest of my life. Moments in my life that I feel were like moments of heaven, tastes of what heaven will be like. And it was amazing. It was wonderful. It was just an unbelievable experience. With Josh, it was a little bit different. You know, we kept our relationship, you know, small, little things here and there, mentioned things to him here and there, just small talk, things like that. And eventually I asked him if he wouldn't want to go to lunch sometime, and so we started meeting for lunch again. But we'd only talk about sports or movies or whatever else. And I was lucky at the time because it was right around the time when The Passion of the Christ came out. And that was, if you haven't seen, it's a movie about the last few hours of Jesus' life, and it clearly is the gospel personified of what Christ went through. And it gave me an opportunity because he loved movies, and he loved talking about the greatest, latest movies and all the controversies behind movies and those things. And so I realized that this was an open door for me. And so I prayed and realized that I needed to be bold. And I asked him if he'd ever seen that movie, and he said no, and he had all these reasons why not and how skeptical he was of the movie. And at some point I just realized I need to just give him the movie. And it came out on DVD, and I had a copy of it. I prayed about it, and I brought the movie with me to work. And we went out to lunch one time, and we were sitting at lunch somewhere in the Minneapolis Skyway, eating our lunches and just talking about the latest things. And I pulled the movie out, and I said, Josh, I think you should watch this. And I have no idea where that came from. The boldness, it wasn't from me. In fact, I have a great idea where it came from. It came from God. It came from Jesus Christ. It came from the Word. It certainly wasn't from me. That's not something that I normally would have done. That's not something that I would have done back then. Remember, I wasn't a pastor back then. This was 10 years ago. And I just gave him the movie, and he said, okay, and he took it, and I didn't mean he was going to watch it, but he took the movie, and to me that was a victory in itself. And, you know, it was ambiguous after that because I didn't want to bring it up and make it a big deal, but every time that we talked, I was always thinking, I wonder if he's watched this movie. And at some point, I noticed over time, over the next days and weeks, that our conversations started to get deeper, and they started to go in different places, and that something changed in him. And there was now, instead of this skepticism, there was this respect for my beliefs. There was a difference in his behavior, in his attitude towards me. And he never really said what that was, but I could see the difference. And I believed it was because he watched that movie. And he saw the gospel in a different light than he had ever seen it before. There was a difference. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, Paul says, "I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." When we share the gospel boldly, we can't worry about results. We don't control the results. God does. We can't control other people because it is their decision. It is their faith. It is their belief, not our own. It's not anything that we do that brings somebody to Christ and to salvation. It's their decision. But that cannot stop us from sharing the gospel boldly. With Adam, we found success. My friend Luke and I and all of our friends that were in our group found success. And sometimes when we share the gospel boldly, we will share in the joy of salvation and the celebration and the taste of heaven and the amazing knowledge of the transformation of a life changed for Jesus Christ. But with Josh, it's a different story. You know, we kept our relationship going and we talked about the movie and I asked him questions about it. He told me he did watch it and he gave it back to me and we just kept those conversations going. But eventually, I moved on to a different city and a different job and we kept in touch a little bit and we emailed back and forth, but our relationship slowly faded away. And honestly, I don't know what ever happened to Josh and his beliefs and his faith. And I've lost touch with him. The last time I emailed him or talked to him was probably 4 or 5 years ago. And this week, as I was praying and preparing this message, I thought about him and I prayed for him. And I looked him up. I tried to look him up. I looked on Facebook and on the internet and searched him everywhere I could and couldn't find him. And then I just, the shot in the dark, sent an email to his old email address thinking maybe he would respond or maybe I could get a hold of him. And I got an email back about an hour later saying this email no longer exists. And so I don't know where Josh is. I don't know whatever happened to him. I don't know what God has done in his life or who else God has used in his life. But I know that God used me to plant a seed in his life. And like I said, we can't control the results. We cannot control the results. Only God controls those. But we have to trust. And in that situation, in both those situations, I had to trust that I did everything that I could to share the gospel boldly. Everything that I could. I stood firm in the Spirit. I was not frightened by the opponent. I was willing to suffer for his sake. And I certainly engaged in conflict over the gospel. And I am not ashamed. And I have no regrets. And I want to remind you of one thing again, that in these two stories, when they happened in my life, I was not a pastor. Because I know it's easy for you to hear this and to say, well, that you and Mark, you guys are pastors. Like Mark's example, he when this happened to him just this last December, his story, if you didn't hear it, check the messages the last 2 weeks. He was a pastor when he went through that. I wasn't a pastor when I went through these experiences. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to have a Bible degree. You don't have to have all the knowledge in the world. You don't have to know every single thing in this Bible. You don't have to have every answer. But you have to be bold. And you have to be willing and not ashamed to share the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. How the gospel changed your life and how it can change other lives. Not be ashamed. Have no regrets. So who do you know? I pray and hope and I believe that God is already putting a name or a person in your mind today as I'm talking. Who do you know? With whom will you share the gospel? Hopefully a person has come to your mind. Maybe a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, a friend. Just start by praying now. Pray for boldness like Paul did. Study the word. Get into God's word. Again, you don't have to know every answer, but get into God's word. It's better to know more of it. And get ready. But start by praying. Again, 1 Corinthians 9:22, I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. What if we could just save one? What if you could save, God could save one person through your boldness of the gospel? It's not going to be easy. You might face some fears. You'll have to stand firm in the Spirit and not be frightened by your opponent. And you probably will suffer for his sake, depending on your situation. And you certainly will engage in conflict. But it's worth every moment. You will not be ashamed, and you will have no regrets. What if just one? Do you have the boldness to share the gospel with just one person? Even if God could change just one life through our boldness, it would be worth every moment. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for being able to worship you this morning through our songs, and thank you for your word and the encouragement that comes from it. And God, we just thank you so much that you have blessed us with this church family that we can fellowship with, God. That you would put a name of somebody or a person on our heart that we could begin praying for, that we could one day share the gospel with, that we could live our life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ that has changed our lives, God. And I just pray that you would show us that through your boldness, through your holy word, God, and pray that you would make us bold for you in sharing the gospel. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.